Welcome back inside the CKDJ studios here for a special bonus audio clip of Wrestling with Ideas. I am the music man, Colin Scully, and in studio with me today, I've got some special guests here. We've got your commentator of choice, Dr. Bob.
The Mulder to your Scully.
Yeah, the X-Files jokes have been made for 10 years,
have they?
Man.
I barely ever watch X-Files.
So neither. I thought that was fresh. I've never watched an episode.
Yeah, that's
because
you're 12. That's why. It was probably on while you're still in the womb, so, you know.
Yeah, that's also fair. And then also, we've got Gus
Burgess.
Gus Burgess.
Hello, everybody.
C4 Ring Crew...
Fan for 39 years, 35 years.
He's been a fan longer than a lot of people have been alive, so he's got that experience on him.
Oh,
so what are we watching today, Colin?
So when you came into the studio today, you had suggested this match, and as of almost yesterday, into the online part of the WWE Network, I was able to find this, and I'm surprised that I was able to find this. We're going to be watching a match from WWE's Madison Square Garden show on the 26th of November, 1984. This match is between the Tonga Kid and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Famous from their movie Body Slams here.
Yeah.
And as Vince says, the garden is the garden. So this match is molten heat from the fans. I think just as a quick setup right now, the build-up to this is with the famous Superfly versus Piper feud that's going right after the coconut smash on Piper's pit. And as they're building up to it, you can see he does come out with him, but Tonga Kid and Piper is the match before any of the snooker stuff goes on.
Right. Now, Gus, do you remember the coconut smash?
Are you asking me because I'm this old?
No, I'm just asking
because
I think everybody remembers. I think everybody remembers the infamous coconut smash.
Yeah. All right, let's check this out. So you can see Cowboy Bob Orton in the ring alongside Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Suspicious without his cast, I barely recognized him.
Yeah. Longest broken arm in history, but it hasn't happened yet by this point.
Great.
Your favorite, the Fink, is in there too, Colin?
Yeah, man.
Look at these two. The fans are already erupting and Tonga Kid's ready to get on. You know what? It was funny too, in his WWE run, he wasn't ever a big name, but his association with snooka really pushed him to that kind of almost near upper echelon, especially, you know, Piper can take anybody and just make it a star. Look at already, as I was saying, the indignation on Piper's face, already kind of pulling off that he's disgusted, angry, all this thing before even a single lockup has taken place, and the fans are literally jumping out of their seats.
Yeah.
They're standing, they're jumping, and also, Colin, this isn't even the main event of the show.
Right, this is barely mid-card. Like, this is what, the first match was SD Jones, Charlie Fulton. Second match was Louis Rivera versus Moondog Spot. Third match was Bobby Heenan versus Salvatore Bellomo. Bobby Heenan in a wrestling match. Okay, I'm going to have to go back and
watch
this. Mr. Fuji versus CFL star Angelo Mosca. And then just before this, we had Swede Hansen versus Cowboy Bob Orton. Now, here we go.
Good card there so far for Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. Bobby Heenan in a wrestling match as something.
Have you not seen some of those?
I've not seen any of those. So.
You are in for a treat. I mean, Sal Bellomo, obviously, with newer ECW fans might be a little familiar with him, but he was a sort of jobber extraordinaire over WWE. Look at these fans pumping. You can feel the vibe. You can pretend you're almost there.
Yeah.
Fans on their feet and clearly on the side of the team.
How old were you there, Gus?
I was
30, 40?
30 years old. 30, that's right, 30, Bobby.
Okay.
30 years old in 1984. Okay.
I was 2 years old at this point.
Now, look at how long Piper...
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Look at how long Piper just takes to take off his coat.
He's almost looking like... I don't know if you saw 205 Live last night, but Leo Rush made his in-ring debut.
Mm-hmm. How long
and did this guy, he took a good 2 minutes. Like, he was taking all of his jewelry... Because he had a bunch of jewelry on, like bracelets and watches and shit. And... he took like a good minute into the match. This isn't going on the radio. It can be uncensored.
Oh, okay.
It's fine.
I was like, am I allowed to swear here?
Yeah, you can swear. It's fine.
Oh,
like, it's
fiddlesticks.
Yeah.
Look at him. Trying to intimidate him with the bell, too. Insinuating that he's going to hit him with it, perhaps.
Yeah.
Bob Orton, his bodyguard, who's a legit tough guy, I've heard. Just standing in front of them. And, you know, Snuka obviously is not going to get involved.
And the kilt comes off.
Boy, is he fired up.
Yes.
Look at these guys. They're all ready to go. It would have been a great tag team match, too. I don't know if they ever mixed
That would have been a great tag team match.
Tonga Kid. Where does... He looks... Where would I have seen him before, Tonga Kid?
Oh, he wrestled throughout WWE.
He did? Okay.
He had a career. He wasn't just...
Did he go by any other names, or...?
I'll have to Wikipedia this later. Yeah. But.
Because I was watching...
I'm pretty sure he had tagged somewhere with the... I want to say Samoan SWAT team. I might be off
right
there. But
the first Samoan SWAT team.
Definitely was never on Snuka's level.
Right.
But like I said again, he was a big time actor for that one movie with Piper. So they actually were together in that as a team. I don't know the time frame if it happened.
Match
right
getting
after
underway. Piper with the slap to the
Piper
face.
Piper opens with two slaps.
Those are hard enough because you can see his face shake.
Oh, there you go.
Piper is shaking.
Yeah,
look
but Piper,
that.
Pipe,
so much with so little, Colin and Gus, like, and the headbutts, of course, because he's from the Alleys.
And the fans are already coming to their feet.
Yeah, they're, listen to that sound, because really, what have they done so far? Not too much.
No, the match has only been going on for about a minute and a half.
Tonga Kid firing up right off the bell.
They really could just trade headbutts and punches for the entire duration of the match and be completely fine.
Yeah. All right, looks like it might have been a DDT that Tonga Kid was trying to pull.
Too early in this.
Too early. All right.
Yeah, they got to save big matches for later. But it was funny because Orton being on the outside and Randy Orton doing that drape over.
The
DDT.
Drape over DDT. Yeah.
Look at him. See, that's perfect.
Yeah.
He's going fast, and he gives time for the fans to just kind of soak it in, watch, and go, what is he going to do next? And I bet you very soon Piper's going to hit him with a cheap shot because he's Tonga Kid's too hot right now.
All right,
not
shoulder block from Tonga Kid.
Yeah, up and over.
Up and over again.
Piper getting a lot
chop
of height
to the chest.
See,
Piper
Tonga
getting
Kid
the upper hand and stalking
hits
around
him
his prey. Going
to the ground.
Stalks and watches, looks at the crowd because he
takes
wants
a moment to gloat.
Yes, and he's probably looking right at Snuka too. And of course,
with the devil horns too.
Tonga Kid.
No, that's the I love you from
Tonga Kid chopped to the chest.
Yeah.
Piper goes down.
Yeah, that's why you're doing it for the trade.
Trading blows to the head there.
Because they both got a lot of ovation there. And so of course Piper's gotta stop and slow the match down.
Yep.
Let everyone absorb it. Don't look right at your opponent, look back at the crowd, but still sell.
See, and this is one of the things, because over the past, couple hours almost, I guess I could say, I've been watching just old school wrestling, except for last night's episode of 205 Live, and this is the one thing that I'm beginning to appreciate a whole hell of a lot more about the old school wrestling, is it's got the perfect balance of in-ring work and showmanship, versus now, 2018's WWE is 90 showmanship, 10 in-ring work, almost.
There's a double-edged sword to that, Colin. I'd say that once you get fans used to something, it's really hard to go back. So to say that they're not working the same way is to a certain point, you can't. You've conditioned your crowd to a certain extent. And look at that. He throws him out near Snuka so that Snuka and him can have that kind of interaction, get fans to give him a little more
Those
sympathy.
Ropes. Those ropes.
Yeah, you're
really
not doing 450s off of that.
No. All
right. Right near the camera.
You can see him biting. It looks like he was biting the forehead.
And he's looking at Snuka. He's
and spitting in his
too.
Face, too. Yep.
I'm sure he really wants to hit him on the coconut at this point.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Throat thrust. He's just, see, the entire
seething
match through,
anger.
He's disgusting. Cocky pin, of course. And what I like about that, too, is that Piper, he's looking at this, you're like, okay, Piper, especially where he is on the card, you're thinking, okay, there's no way he's going to lose to Tonga, so let's get as much hatred for
knee
him as
to the face, smiling and still looking at Snuka. He's telling Snuka that it's about to be done. One, two, kick out by Tonga Kid.
What's great about this, too, is that if you read any sort of books or hear any sort of interviews, Piper and Snuka were such good friends.
Right.
To see that... Look at that and see that they absolutely going for the sleeper hold, his finisher, absolutely hate each other. And when you believe it to the very fiber of your core here and fiber of your being, and then to kind of see that, oh, these friends, like they can totally convince you.
And this
no, were they? Were they? Was it all kayfabe that they hated each other? Or did they legitimately hate each other at this point in time?
No, they were always good friends.
They were always good friends. See, I think that helps a lot too. When you're really good friends, you know how to work each other.
Sometimes if
you
hate each other too, that helps too.
Yeah, I know. But like, if you know each other really well, that helps. Like, if you're good friends, you know exactly what's gonna piss them off the most. So even if it's all kayfabe.
Oh, see, in any regular match, Tonga Kid. Especially where he is on the card, would be finished. But because this is building up to Snuka in the big match, he can't lose too easily.
Now, does this build up to their WrestleMania match at
yes,
WrestleMania?
Yes, I believe so.
One, I think it was.
No, not in 84.
84? No, because WrestleMania.
This one's in 84.
This one's in 1984.
Yeah. So
this one was
and
the first WrestleMania.
Here we had the classic
though.
3-times arm drop yeah. with Tonga Kid holding his arm up at 3.
What's that? The butt thrust too?
The butt thrust.
Yeah, well,
foreshadowing Rikishi, I think.
Well, they are part of. He is cousins, I believe, of Rikishi too.
The
so.
Fatu, yeah.
Yeah.
The Fatu family.
Yeah, they probably even tagged too. So.
You know, I can't help but notice looking back on this. I used the word magic to describe Hulk Hogan's wrestling, but I have to say.
Have you heard this
looking,
crowd the entire time?
Looking back. On
speaking of Hogan, he's Fijiing up here.
It's Fijiing up. But looking back at Dear Roddy,
Piper
I have
looks,
to use the
Piper
word magic.
Piper looks surprised that he's been able to do this. Piper, I can talk sometimes. Piper looks like he's surprised that Tonga's pulling off everything right now.
Well, he's got to, because, I mean, he was...
Headbutt.
Massive
headbutt. Or he's got to be thinking that he... Tonga Kid's not going to have a chance in there with him.
Right.
So to see him even kind of pull something
Irish whip to the corner.
Crossbody dumps him outside.
Dumps him outside.
Wonderful. In a lot of matches, especially in this era in the WWF, that would have been a count out. So somebody takes that hard to spill, match over.
And Roddy buys himself a minute before going after.
Bob Orton here. The DQ. A lot, again, like I said, a lot of matches at this era probably going to end in DQ. But... this gives the interaction.
Fun.
No clean win.
Yeah.
Helps
fun fact.
Going.
Tito with the save.
Sam Fatu, also known as the Tonga Kid, is the twin brother of Salofa Fatu Jr., also known as Head Shrinker Fatu / Rikishi.
That's it. Oh,
he's the twin brother. He's twin brother.
Brothers. That's why they tag together, I believe.
Yeah,
so.
Man.
Look at them.
What the hell?
Wow,
all right, so
look at this crowd.
And now
Tito
in the
both of these guys,
ring.
There's... the match is over at this point.
Yeah, the ref's calling it off. He's saying them, but the fans are loving every single second of it. See, it's very
if
hard
they didn't,
to...
if they didn't do a tag match with this, then they did something terribly wrong here. Because this...
well, it was always supposed to be centered around Roddy and Superfly. So,
right.
Tony Kid was an afterthought in this, unfortunately. Although, I think, like I was saying, mid-card match in Madison Square Garden... matchup between two guys who aren't even in a feud, really. It's the periphery of being around Snuka, and yet
right.
I love that. I want Piper shirt.
I
might need
Piper.
To get that.
Yeah,
and that's just that magical feeling, like you were saying, Gus. It's just you don't see that anywhere, almost like in a car nowadays. It's just that hatred that they had for each other, the beautiful angle that they had, and the build. Wonderful match.
It's always the small details, and Roddy Piper was a master at those facials.
Yeah. Because I remember I was watching the first Clash of Champions yesterday, and the first match that was on that card, or it was either the first or the second match that was on that card, was the Midnight Express versus the Fantastics.
Yep.
Now, here's a question, because you were, both of you guys, I guess. Jim Cornette, at this point in time, had a tennis racket with him, but he also had tennis rackets on the back of his jacket. Was there any actual significance to that, or was that just a thing?
He brought in the tennis racket as a weapon, and he's proud to say, I made the tennis racket, meaning that he was the first one to bring in as a weapon. So he was really proud because people put their stamp on certain things. Like more recent fans will know Triple H made the sledgehammer.
Right.
I don't super agree with that as a weapon.
Sting,
but
Sting made the baseball bat, you could say.
Yeah, I guess. I'm sure there have been people who used the bat before, but tennis racket was new. So I've even seen some criticism. Well, if you have a tennis racket, wouldn't you swing it from the handle? Because he used to do it as a thrust into the stomach.
Yeah.
Marceau, he goes, well, I made the tennis racket. I can do whatever I want with it.
Yeah.
It wasn't, but the good thing on the Fantastics. So the Fantastics were built because Jim Cornette. If we're going too long, let me know. Jim
Cornette. This is bonus.
We're going an hour. We're going Broadway, guys. We're going Broadway. Not the restaurant. I think I had enough breakfast. But so Jim Cornette always had the formula to run, especially in his territory, to run with a tag team as a big feud. He would take guys, like, if you see how big the Midnight Express were, they weren't actually big singles wrestlers, but combined, like you're saying, not to overuse
one
too
of the
much,
greatest.
But Magic.
Mm-hmm.
He would take two guys who were around the mid-card, put them together. Same way he did that for the Midnight Express. Guys like Bobby Eaton, obviously one of the greatest talents ever, but never was a main event player by himself. Mm-hmm. And they tagged them up, made it. Well, various incarnations of Dennis Condrey and with, who am I missing here, Stan Lane. The Fantastics were brought in because the Express were broken up, and he knew that there was still so much money to be made with rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And then so he used Express. He used
Hardcore Holly was part of the freaking Midnight Express.
No, the new,
Midnight Express.
No Midnight.
Okay.
There was
the
no very big difference, Colin.
Yeah.
There has been a new tag team for a lot of old tag teams that worked, and they never got to anything because wrestling has reused a lot of stuff and said, okay, these guys are the new incarnation. It had nothing
to do
with it.
Is there like another – are there any other examples that I might have heard of?
Oh, there's a new Hart Foundation for a little while, right, with TJ,
there's a,
TJ
no,
and
there's
Harry.
A new one now, right now, too.
Is there an – okay.
Where is that?
Brian Pillman Jr., who just started wrestling a year ago.
Brian Pillman
Natalia's
Jr.?
Natalia's probably in there, I'd have to guess.
No. Because they're running indies.
Oh, okay.
So
– my mistake.
Brian Pillman Jr. Is tagging with Little Davey Boy, or Harry Smith, whatever incarnation of that union use. And then they're tagging with Teddy. So it's now Teddy, Davey Boy, and Pillman – all as a trio, and they just started, I think, maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago,
oh,
to
Jesus.
Build themselves yes. as New Hartford. Before that, even.
We're going to have to book them for C4
I was
at
say,
some point.
Dr. Bob, you brought up Junior. Brian Pillman, of course, was part of the Hollywood Blondes, which, of course, well, there were actually two previous Hollywood Blonde tag teams before.
Perfect.
Before Stone Cold
but
and
they
Brian
didn't,
Pillman
they,
did it.
Did they push themselves as the new Hollywood Blondes?
As far as I know, they never used the word new.
Okay.
They just said it was a Hollywood Blondes.
Okay.
And according to Stone Cold, one of his recent podcast interviews, he mentioned a fan question where he said that it was all Pillman's idea, mm-hmm. and that he had actually brought the idea to Stone Cold and mentioned that there were two previous tag teams called the Hollywood Blondes.
Loving the wrestling trivia. Loving it.
However,
it's not listed that there were three of them, actually.
He didn't. He felt that they weren't. They didn't have the notoriety to
mm-hmm.
you know, to warrant the new Hollywood Blonde label.
Now, for the fans that aren't exactly 100% sure, like they might have heard the Hollywood Blondes, but they know the Hollywood Blondes as the fourth incarnation of Steve Austin and Brian Pillman. First incarnation was the longest lasting one.
Buddy Roberts, yeah,
Jerry Brown lasted. They were mainly in the NWA tri-state territory,
mm-hmm.
between 1970 and 1977. Of course, the next one.
The one and only Rip Rogers.
Rip Rogers, Ted Oates, 1984. Next one was Dusty Wolf, also known as Doink the Clown. And Ken
one
Timms,
on, one of
those, one of the Doink the Clowns,
yeah,
in Florida,
can you scroll over,
did nothing.
Can tell me about Ken Timms again for a second.
Ken Timms,
wait,
Ken Timms,
Doink the Clown, wasn't that Matt Bourne? So there would be two incarnations of that.
There's
it?
Many Doink
okay,
the Clowns.
All right, so
Matt Bourne became the longest lasting, I believe, but there are many. I mean, it's an easy gimmick. WWE owns a costume, just put it on whoever. But then, yeah, of course, Matt Bourne would have been.
Always particular to Dink the Clown, anyways.
yeah,
Tiger Jackson. Hey, you can still see him on cards nowadays.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So Dusty Wolf actually never wrestled as Doink in WWF. It was all NWA.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
There you go. It's amazing. It's amazing how we got talking. Like, we started off with an alternate commentary on a match between Tonga Kid and Roddy Piper, and we ended up talking about which Doink the Clown.
Rest in peace, Alabama Doink.
Rest in peace, Alabama Doink, yeah.
Yeah, and so... who were we at before? The Fantastics came in as the foil to the Rock and Roll Express because Cornette had wanted to run something close to the Midnight Express, and the Fantastics were a great tag team, my goodness.
Right.
Jim
Cornette managed the Fantastics too? What the hell? Was he only managing the Fantastics, or did he manage the Midnight Express as well?
Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express, he made them.
Yeah, okay. No, I was just confused because I see Jim Cornette here as one of their managers for the Fantastics as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I saw the Midnight Express and I got confused for a second.
No. Jim Cornette is
Jim Cornette's the guy. Yeah. He came out with the Midnight Express. I remember now.
Yeah, he's most known for the Midnight Express and then for his WWF run just because of the visibility.
And of course, that tennis racket.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. I mean, people now know him as the old guy that's going on rants all the time.
Well, let's not bring that up.
But say 10 years ago, he was the guy with the tennis racket. If you weren't following wrestling closely, that's how you would have remembered him.
Let's look at Jim Cornette's body of work in terms of who he's managed. Mm-hmm. We'll take a look at the tag teams.
There's one example, the Heavenly Bodies. They also had a new Heavenly Bodies, but it was never as big as Gigolo, Jimmy Del Rey, Sweet Stan Lane, and Dr. Tom Pritchard. So, they had a new Heavenly Bodies. Right. They had...
the fabulous ones, Stan Lane.
Steve Kern.
Dynamic dudes, Johnny and Shane. Dynamic duo of Al Snow and you and Kane. Al Snow and Kane were a tag team.
Yeah, but Kane's gone under a lot of different because he was.
He was Ted DiBiase's personal dentist at one point.
Even before WWF, he ran a lot of different gimmicks. And let's see, who were we talking about right before with what's
Heavenly
going on?
Bodies? Johnny and Shane.
No. Oh, Fantastics. Yeah. Dynamic Dudes is funny because I didn't even know Cornette was with them, but Johnny and Shane, you know who those are? John Laurinaitis and Shane Douglas. And Laurinaitis obviously
It was Dr. Death Steve Williams that fucked Johnny Ace's voice up, right? In that one match in Japan, there was some Japanese death match or something.
What's wrong with my voice?
They did it in a death match?
You're not making fun of me, are you?
I've never heard that before.
Really?
Maybe.
There's nothing wrong with my voice.
Because they were running that angle in... Yeah, back when he was the general manager of both of them. And I think it was his first... General manager of Raw and SmackDown.
Oh, good.
And they were talking about how... he was talking about how his voice was all screwed up. Because there was a whole angle...
My voice is not screwed up.
They were running where...
That was you, Gus.
Yeah, they were running it so that John Cena was... He was calling him Mr. Laryngitis.
Yeah. No, I've known. But Johnny's had that voice forever and ever and ever and ever now. Like he's had that voice back when he was wrestling with the All Japan and he was doing those matches and that's long, long time ago. But
John Laurinaitis voice.
Which Road Warrior is he the brother of?
Animal.
The one that's
Joe Laurinaitis, John Laurinaitis, and Joe has a kid who last I checked
was playing football.
But I think he had an open invitation from WWE. Obviously, it's
tag team specialist match of the year. Yada yada yada. Finishing move of Randy Orton appeared in a video game. Not an elderly man. He's 46. Fuck off.
No, he's not 46 now.
Well, how old is this article then? 2012. Okay, so he's like 50. Whatever. 50.
Get that math work done.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well,
this is some interesting stuff here, though. I'm definitely gonna have a fun summer watching some old school WCW.
I'll send you a few Laurinaitis matches too, especially from All Japan.
I want to watch some more All Japan as well, just in general, because I've been watching a lot of New Japan. I'm watching a lot of WCW and that.
Well, you're watching
right
current New Japan.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I've seen some old stuff too.
What's old for you?
I went back to the beginning, Antonio Inoki
and
New Japan.
Yeah. Well, Inoki was the president for the longest time before.
Yeah.
Before he split off to Antonio. Oh, fun fact. His son, Simon. I want to say Simon Inoki just started up their Inoki Genome Fed IGF before. And so starting up, it's under a different name now, and he's doing something different. But they just started. If we're talking about recency, they just started a new Fed. I don't believe Inoki is connected with that, but it's got the Inoki name branded there because of his
son. It's not Antonio Inoki. It's Muhammad Hussein Inoki, apparently.
Born in 1943.
No, the beginning of New Japan was Antonio Inoki, definitely.
Yeah,
you
know.
If he wrestled over in the States, then that's different.
New Japan, 1972. New Japan started in 1972. And, I'm not sure. Hold on. Antonio Inoki... He founded it after his departure from JPWA.
Do you want me to give you a 30-minute history lesson on all that? Because I just gave Gusset on the right here, actually.
Really? All I'm going to say about Inoki is even at 75, the man looks terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's... I still don't want to fight with him.
Yeah,
but.
Well, you get trained by our Carl Gotch. You definitely don't want to.
There's a great match that he's in on YouTube that turns into a shoot halfway through.
I think the Great Antonio.
Is that what it was?
Whoever he wrestled, the large dude
really
in the yellow,
big American guy.
Okay,
and
so
he just takes him
actually,
down.
I don't think Antonio is even American. So here's the thing.
Antonio's not American, no.
No, he's not.
Great Antonio. Where is he from? Is he British? Maybe
the Great Antonio.
Yeah. Anyways, whatever he is. Great Antonio actually has wrestled before. I know by the looks of it, you would never think so, but he wrestled his mentor.
From Yugoslavia. He was Croatian-Canadian.
My mistake, I thought
European,
he was American.
Yeah, just because large guy.
He was a very, very big guy.
It looked like he
wasn't selling or something.
He wasn't.
And Oki said, okay, yeah. Well, I'll give you a reason to sell then.
And Oki definitely will teach you a lesson there if you don't want to.
That, of course, is infamous match with Muhammad Ali.
Yep, there's an entire book I've written on that one too. I've got it home.
I just recently heard from Brunar that Bruno claims he was the original opponent for Muhammad Ali in that match.
Interesting. I'll have to give that a little more read.
Yeah, what podcast did I hear?
Well, I'd be surprised if leading up to that, Bruno didn't have like a wrestler versus boxer, because a few people did. Chuck Wepner, he fought Andre the Giant in that. Okay. Let's see.
Well, you had Piper versus Mr. T.
No, totally different era. I'm talking all that same buildup. They had Gorilla Monsoon fought a few boxers too.
That's right. Actually, I've seen some of those matches.
There would have been a whole buildup of wrestler boxer series, obviously culminating with Inoki. That was a lot of it. And right.
Now there was a match here. There's a match that you had sent me yesterday saying that it was your favorite match of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna pull this match.
Can we talk about it here on air though? I don't know.
Why not? Why wouldn't we be
able to? Due to one of the four competitors?
Are we sponsored by the WWE?
No. I mean in terms of Benoit.
Oh.
So.
Well, we're not the WWE.
WWE. Okay. Well, it's not so much that.
Let's not pretend like he didn't exist and wasn't a great wrestler.
Yeah, it wasn't that. Should we idolize someone?
It's on the network.
Should we idolize? Okay, fine. Well, I was going to say,
really?
Should we idolize?
I thought there was a policy. A standing
policy. All of his stuff is on there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Raw was it from again?
I'd have to look. I don't have a photographic memory of it. All but if right. you look up, if you Google,
that's interesting. So nobody's allowed to choke anybody in the ring because of Benoit. But we can.
Is that the reason?
They'll put all of his footage.
Is
on
that the reason?
Allegedly. I mean, Daniel Bryan got let go because
of
that.
But I didn't know if that was the reason. There
May 31st.
All according
right.
to
are
Dave Meltzer,
we're doing commentary on that one too.
Why
are we just
well.
Talking about? All right.
Why the hell not?
We're going 1 hour.
We might. We're already at just under half.
Yeah.
We can do commentary on a couple more.
Hey, I can give you half an hour. We can give you half an hour just on New Japan and All Japan split up and break up and everything. Yeah.
We can if we, like, fuck it, whatever.
You got the New Japan shirt, so.
I do.
So, yeah, a lot of New Japan material there. I would say absolutely must watch.
I have New Japan World, too, so we can go and watch a New Japan match, too, after.
You guys need to watch... if you're familiar with both, you know the Great Muta?
Yeah.
And I guess everyone in this day and age knows Jushin Liger. Muta's a little less known because he's not as active as Liger, which is he's a freak of nature that he's at that high level at this age.
Because
he still wrestles like he's 20.
Muta?
No, Liger.
Liger, yeah.
Yeah, no.
My dad, I remember I was watching Wrestle Kingdom, I think it was Wrestle Kingdom 12 a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the New Japan Rumble that had started the show off.
Mm-hmm.
And Jushin Liger comes out. And my dad goes, what the hell is a Power Ranger doing in a wrestling ring? Because he's not a New Japan. He's not a Japan guy.
Yeah. But he was made off of Kid Show.
Sorry?
The whole costume, although it's changed by now, it was made off of the Kid Show.
Right.
The same thing with Tiger Mask was made off of a Kid Show.
Tiger Mask is four right now,
we're
believe?
At four right now.
We're
yeah.
at four right now. Okay.
Well, so, the original Satoru Sayama.
Yeah.
Japan has had a history of bringing in doing tie-ins with cartoons and such too. So
right.
to the point where even guys like Okada and everything have showed up. Not
right.
the other way around, but now that he's famous, has showed up in a cartoon. A lot of them
in video games too. Like I just bought Tekken 7 a couple days ago, and Hiroshi Tanahashi is a DLC.
Mm-hmm.
There's a character that's loosely based off of Tiger Mask. It's basically a guy with like a tiger's head and then the rest of like a jacked human body or something.
Isn't
like that.
Isn't that just King?
Yeah.
He's been on Tekken for years. That's not the same thing.
It's though. Not the same thing no, as Tiger Mask? No, no. Okay. All right. Anyways, let's get back to the match that we started talking about a little bit earlier.
Yes.
Now, We're gonna watch this match. We mentioned that it was Dr. Bob's favorite match of all time. We're not gonna tell you why this is his favorite match until after the match is over, because it'll make sense after. But the only reason I'm saying that is because it's Chris Benoit and Edge
coming in as tag team champions,
who are currently tag team champions against La Résistance of Rob Conway
and
Sylvain Grenier. Yeah. Now, I can guarantee you that not many wrestling fans in the world have their favorite match featuring La Résistance either way. So, let's watch the
Ben's
match.
That's fighting words, but yes, continue.
Okay, so let's just watch this.
Let's not forget that Rob Conway, especially when he was in OVW, was Masters of the Ring with Eugene. Nick Dinsmore at that point, always regarded as a very, very thorough and solid technical wrestler. Sylvain Grenier was relatively new. He's very young. I mean, he's probably, you know, in his early 20s at this point. And when he came in, was very young, not as young as Rene Dupree, but didn't have the experience that somebody like a Conway did. And Conway and then Nick Dinsmore really helped groom a lot of the OVW era guys at that point, before, of course, like NXT, even Florida, all that stuff. So Ohio Valley now, not part of the WWE.
Well, there are TNA's development.
Is it loosely?
No, it's straight up. Straight up.
Because didn't Snow?
That would make sense, though. But
Snow acquired it.
But Al Snow was also part of the executive committee at TNA.
He still is.
Okay, so
as far as I know,
that all makes sense to me.
Now at this point, Chris Benoit, not only is he one half of the World Tag Team Champions, he is also currently the World Heavyweight Champion at this point in time. Of course, this Raw on the 31st of May 2004, live from, was it the Bell Center at this point, or was it?
Probably should be, yeah.
Probably Bell Center.
Yeah.
Live from Montreal, Quebec. Yeah. Bobby's hometown.
Well, I think you kind of get part of that away, but
I'm not getting. No, all I'm saying is it's Bobby's hometown.
So, actually, the audio here for everyone, if you're queuing it up, so there is a moderate pop for. Not moderate, but in comparison, there's a big pop for Benoit, a little bit bigger for Edge as well. Of course, Benoit being born in Montreal.
Yep. Well, all of these guys are Canadian.
Yeah. Well, not Conway.
Conway's not always American, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, like I said.
Well, kayfabe Canadian. Let's just go for it.
No, actually, he wasn't even. He had moved kayfabe wife to Quebec. So, to be part of this tag team. And Résistance, actually, when they first started, were French. They had the French flags and everything. Dupree, of course, his father, Emile Dupree, one of the most famous Atlantic wrestlers ever. He came originally from France as well, I believe. So Dupree running with that kind of angle.
Dr. Bob, was there a second incarnation of the Resistance? Because I recall Rene Dupree being
part
of the Resistance.
It was, and then the second incarnation of that, Sylvain Grenier came in. He was a French sympathizer.
Okay.
And so then after Dupree got traded over to SmackDown, then these two started tagging exclusively. And I think it was the best formation.
Dupree and... So is this the second one or is this the first one then?
Arguably the third version.
The third?
Because the second version was all of them three together.
Okay.
And Conway would wrestle, but
Dupree
he would also...
Dupree was traded over to SmackDown and that's where
he became
began
French,
his whole model run? That model thing...
The model was still Sylvain.
It Sylvain? Okay.
Yeah. He came over and turned into the French Tickler, and then he did stuff with Kenzo Suzuki. Big Kenzo fan, by the way. This was, in my estimation, the best tag team out of the two.
Out of the three incarnations was Grenier and Conway.
Yeah.
All right, we see Edge.
And the crowd absolutely went, sorry we didn't mention, absolutely went crazy when Résistance came in. It was a Raw, so you don't get a lot of matches announced anyways. Total surprise. And, you know, hometown. If you know anything about Montreal, they love their hometown boys. So the fans also don't completely buy into Conway being from Montreal. They know Grenier is legit from Montreal, or close by at least. And... So the fans actually are still on a bit of Edge and Benoit's side. A little bit of smattering of booze when Rob Conway gets hit. So they're a bit still on their side. But if you wait a little bit and it's coming, as soon as...
Yeah.
I mean, absolute madman.
Yeah.
For the record, Wrestling with Ideas, Wrestling with Ideas. Call the Music Man Scully, Dr. Bob,
yes.
Or Gus Burgess do not endorse the actions.
Of course not. We're watching this as a historical piece. To disagree that Benoit was an absolute A-plus wrestler in there, I think would be short-sighted. But of course, we're watching this just from a purely historical. Ask the discretion of everyone before we started this match. Would it be okay? But
it's not being put on radio, so it's fine.
So Edge actually is getting the hometown crowd too, being Canadian. I'd say Edge is a little more well liked than Benoit too at this point, but far and away, if you hear the crowd, Grenier is the man in here. Anything he does, cheer. Anything against him gets booed. So I think Conway is a little bit the man out. They're really for Resistance, but especially really for Grenier.
Right. Now, this was just after Edge and Christian had split up, if I'm not mistaken, right? And Edge was just about
No,
at the
I think
beginning.
It had been quite a while.
It had been quite a while, yeah.
Because,
this
Edge,
is just,
because like, Edge was on his way to getting groomed for the championship.
Right, so this was right in the middle of where he was being groomed for.
He hadn't hit sort of main event, consistent main event status yet.
But this is also pre-neck injury as well.
Most probably. Yeah. This leads up to
the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At this point, actually, Rob Conway and Sylvain Grenier had never been tag champs, that incarnation of it as well. So,
had before, like, so the third incarnation had never been tag champs. Had either the first or the second at any
point?
Well,
I mean, the second really is all three of them, but like,
yeah.
A Resistance, we'll have to look up. I don't know how many times they won, but they've all, as different components, won the tag team championships. It's never been Dupree and Conway as champs, though. It's always been Conway. It's always been Grenier and Dupree, or Grenier and Conway. Actually, a little bit later than this too, when they go back to the States, because this is in Canada. So, like, we're talking about that whole Hart family, Hart Foundation versus Americans. Cheered here. They go back to the States, and Benoit beats them clean 1-on-2.
But even just looking at the fleur-de-lis in the crowd here, this is clearly
there's
patriotic
a Greece,
moment.
Oh my.
Did I just see a Greek flag?
No, that would be Quebec.
No. There was a Quebec flag, but I could have sworn.
We can rewind later if you
sworn.
Want.
I'm not that blind, man. I am not that blind.
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, sure, it was there. So Benoit just going through these. Look at the booze. The booze when he hits Grenier.
It's right about, like, I'll show you when the hard can comes back, where I could have sworn I seen it. Right there.
Oh, maybe.
Did you see
that? Yeah, maybe you're right.
It's not the Quebec flag. All right, you got Chris Benoit in the
This felt like watching it. This felt like it was over. It was over. You were 100% not figure four. That's the sharpshooter. Because Benoit pulled the sharpshooter. Not ever.
Totally misspoke there. The guy in the Tennessee Titans jersey has the flag in question.
Possible.
German suplex from Benoit to Dupree. Is that?
I think it's Grenier. I think it's a Greek suplex
this
at this point.
Greek suplex.
Here's the original Suplex City.
Yeah, Chris.
Oh,
Benoit.
My friend. There's about 30, 40 years of more original suplexes.
That's true. You got to throw Taz in there too. Right?
Oh my goodness.
But even long before that.
Gary Albright. I will send you some matches. That is the man. The fans are going nuts.
Yep. Benoit at the top rope.
The fans at this point, at the beginning, they're kind of 50-50 split, maybe 60-40 for Resistance. At this point, it is 95-5. Like, they have won them over in this match, because I think the fans realize, oh my God, Quebec and Montreal specifically, we can do it.
Yeah.
Misses the spear, the crowd is... Oh no, didn't miss the spear, sorry. Misspoke. Stopped him, that was the Resistance finisher.
Chris Benoit to the crossface.
Benoit trying to get the cripple crossface.
This feels like an eternity.
Yeah.
No, nobody can hold out this long.
At this point,
he's using the fans to help out.
At this point, I'm pretty much. You could probably say that it's 100-0.
Yeah, pretty close.
Pretty much. Because, like, you could still be fans of Chris Benoit and Edge, but at the same time, it'd be cool. Here we go. Match coming. Yeah, it is a Greek flag. I'm not stupid.
There you go.
All right, Chris Benoit looks like, hopefully he didn't lose that tooth. during this match. But
actually, a funny story, and I'll tell you too in a quick second. So they always push that as a, never said it out loud, but they always push that as a wrestling injury. That was actually told by his dad later that when he was a kid, I don't know why they never fixed it, but as a kid, their dog jumped up and knocked his tooth out.
Oh,
so yeah, actually, there's no footage, unless it's a fake veneer. There's no footage of him ever wrestling with that tooth in there, a real tooth in there. But you know, helps the toothless aggression gimmick,
especially for a Canadian, right? Who are used to seeing hockey players. With
yeah,
teeth.
Of course.
So I always thought it added to.
Actually, Edge broke all his front teeth too at one match. I don't know if it was a ladder match or some sort.
Yeah.
But same night he had to go to the dentist and pop them all back in. He should be the real toothless aggression.
And then, of course, modern wrestling fans might know toothless aggression as the Thwith Thyborg. Cesaro, I don't know if you've... Did you see that?
Do you know what happened?
Do you know what I'm talking about, Gus?
No, I don't.
I'll show you a picture after.
His teeth
got pushed into his gum.
Yes, disgusting.
I'll show you a picture of it after.
Miz broke a tooth mid-match, too. There's a few wrestling... wrestling's a hard one. It's a tough one.
We can do a top 10 tooth break match.
That would be a great
this.
Episode.
Disgusting. Wrestling with bad ideas.
I can't think of a match where I saw a tooth come out, though.
Wrestling with bad ideas. As soon as Gibby leaves, everything goes to shit. We love you, Gibby.
Now, if it was UFC, it'd be a little easier to come up with a match.
Well, Dr. Bob, you've got your graphs with Gibby there. If you don't know what we're talking about, you can go to Fight TV and watch Cage Wars
2. Oh, McGibson. Yeah. Okay, I remember him.
McGibson.
And both competitors are down, looking for the tag.
We have not mentioned it, but the crowd is just wild.
Yeah, you can definitely say that they're 100-0 in favor of Lakazi Styles right now.
Edge coming off of his trademark strikes.
I just noticed there's a Eugene for president sign.
Well, Eugene was really hot at that point. He's actually the main event of this Raw, him versus Kane. It's funny, too. I was talking about Eugene Nick Dinsmore. I forgot he was on the show, but him and Conway were Lords of the Ring in OVW.
Right.
Beautiful.
Missile dropkick.
Not the Japanese style where you land on the back or the side, and then you can kind of catch yourself.
Benoit attacking. No. That's Grenier there.
No, that was Conway.
That was Conway?
Yeah, that was Conway, yeah.
Okay.
Look at the crowd. They all sense it. It's done.
Spear by Edge on Chris Benoit.
The crowd suddenly went, oh my God, there's no chance. Is this actually
happening? Conway picking up.
I'm getting goosebumps. I swear to you, I got goosebumps right now. Look at the crowd.
One, two, three.
Look,
Thunder,
look at that place.
The tag team championships.
The bells are shaking right now.
Now, Dr. Bob, explain now. Why, this is your favorite match of all time.
Well, Resistance is still my favorite tag team of all time because of this match. And I was there live, can't remember my seat number. We were there in the crowd. My brother and I were sitting there. And this goes to commercial a little bit, comes back with a promo for somebody else. But they start cheering from here, straight through commercials, even through a little bit of a promo, kind of died down at that point, just because something else was coming up. But you don't get Montreal wrestlers really in the forefront. Now with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, you kind of take it for granted. But for a very long time, there was nobody big there from Montreal. And the fans just felt like this was a hometown win. You know, like Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross are saying, the Montreal Canadiens winning it. That's what it felt like. And here they
and
get...
Since the Montreal Canadiens hadn't won... the championship in, I think this was 11 years.
Hockey's a work. The fans just go crazy for minutes and minutes on end, and this actually leads up to Edge and Benoit splitting up and then fighting for the championship afterwards. Great feud between those two.
Is that how Edge won his first World Heavyweight Championship from Chris Benoit?
You asked me specific dates. I'd have to research this.
I'm not asking specific dates. Like, I'm just asking if Edge was...
I can't remember if this was the first one, but I remember they had hellacious matches after this.
So, Bob, tell us, does the footage do it justice? You were in the building that night.
It does not. It does not do it justice. The crowd... the sound and the emotion, and because they have to cut to commercial too, you kind of watching it on TV, you kind of go, oh, okay, that was fun. But through the commercial break, just the place is vibrating. That sound when you hear that many people in one small area, or smallish area, just kind of all cheering in unison, and
it was something akin to, you were mentioning Hulk Hogan. It was something akin to like a Hulk Hogan win, and that entire place just going, these are our guys, this is who we're attached to. And it's just,
I've always said wrestling is about magic moments, and it sounds to me like for you, this was a magic moment.
This is absolutely my favorite match. Nothing comes close. I mean, I've loved all the, some of the big, well-loved matches, like a Steamboat Flair, like a Hart Michaels, all these ones, but that there was nothing that'll touch that. I can't foresee anything like that happening in my lifetime again. No. So, yeah.
And that's now that you guys both sort of mentioned your favorite matches, I'm quite a bit younger than the both of you. I'm trying to remember the last like real match.
50-year-old Gus, but yeah,
50-year-old Gus that I sort of remember watching, because I've only ever been to the one Smack.
We call him Old Yeller, but yeah.
My favorite match is Killer Kowalski versus
Mad Dog Vachon, biggest crowd attendance ever in Montreal at the Parc Jerry. Absolutely. Yeah, go ahead.
Definitely not my favorite match.
Yeah. I've only actually ever been to one live WWE event, and it was a SmackDown.
We'll go next time, Colm. Give me a shout.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It was a SmackDown right at the height of the original Authority, and they had Big Show do like a live apology, but that was the only SmackDown that I'm trying to remember, like, my favorite match that I've seen, though.
Oh, live? Okay.
Not even necessarily live, but, like, live watching on TV sort of thing.
Oh, that way, yeah, okay.
And the only, like, the real match, the match that I can remember actually watching as it was happening was the triple threat between Daniel Bryan, Triple H.
And Batista?
And was it at WrestleMania 30?
That's right, yeah. Yeah. That was
No, Triple H wasn't in that one.
Oh, it was
at
Randy
WrestleMania, because he beat Triple H to get in that one. Remember?
Yeah,
him and Triple H were fighting, and he said...
Either way, Daniel Bryan won the both championships at that point in time.
Yeah.
And I had been behind Daniel Bryan for a while. I remember losing my shit when he joined, quote-unquote, the Wyatt family for a couple of matches.
Yep.
But yeah, just Daniel Bryan's...
And then the cage.
I thought you were going to say when he joined the Nexus. You're the Nexus or against us.
Oh, that was a time.
I made, right when he was retiring, that same week, actually, you can see it on my Facebook.
Yeah.
Everyone should join Dr. Bob, your commentator choice, by the way.
I'll link it to the Podbean.
Wonderful, appreciate it. But actually, on my personal Facebook, I put up my favorite, after scrounging and going through years of notes, my top 10 favorite Bryan Danielson matches in order. I'm a bit of a list geek, as you might know.
Yep.
So right on that last, the 1 week or a few days after he had retired, before he came back, of course.
It was Randy Orton.
I put his... Yeah, it was Randy Orton. And the whole thing to that was Batista had won the Rumble. Randy Orton was supposed to face Batista, but the yes movement, quote-unquote, was so big that behind the scenes they had to push Bryan. And then so the angle with that was supposed to just be Bryan versus Triple H. But with it so hot, he got the... And it was, you know, totally predictable, but that's not always a bad thing, as long as you give the fans what you want and what they want. Bryan had beat Triple H to set that up and said, if you can beat me, then you have your match. So, of course, Bryan goes in a huge underdog, and especially so much smaller than the other two, too. But it was supposed to be Orton and Batista. The fans were so behind Bryan at that time that they didn't let Batista win because it was Blue Tista, it was all that. They booed him out the building, so we were going to have like another another Roman Reigns effect where like the guy was supposed to be cheered, wasn't. And so they pushed Bryan there instead and got the big, big ovation they needed. And of course, he retired really soon after that,
That's
too.
That's right. But it was his year, and they did the right
thing.
Oh,
there was nobody. There was nobody as big as him in the world at that point. So, yeah, that was his.
I mean, I think WrestleMania of that year basically faded to black with the crowd screaming, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, as it should. As it should.
It was a perfect ending to the show.
Yeah.
Don't get. You mentioned the whole Roman Reigns effect. Let's try and.
No?
Does
that get
I,
you hot?
Okay, if
the
you want
that that's becoming like a term, is like, you should tell everybody what they need to.
Yeah, they're gonna change from X-Pac heat to Reigns heat soon. I got no big problem with him.
With Roman Reigns, really?
Yeah, I got no big problem with him. I've lived through so much wrestling that I've seen stuff like that happen so often in so many different facets.
Have
like,
they done it worse than what they're doing with Roman Reigns right now? Do you know what I'm talking about?
In the history of wrestling?
Yeah.
Or just talking WWE? In the history of wrestling, sure.
Like,
sure.
Who's probably the biggest name that you can think of?
For a while, people were wondering why Bob Backlund was champion for that long. I don't think it was at the extent of Reigns, but that certainly was, you know, imagine Reigns had the championship for years. That was one thing, and they were kind of clamoring for a change. We were talking about back a little bit before.
That's right,
too.
Yeah. He's one of the longest reigning champs.
Yeah, I don't think it was ever at the reins, but people were kind of scratching their heads going, why is this guy still champion? I love him, but I'm just saying what the general reaction was.
Reigns or Backlund here?
Backlund. Because Reigns at least wasn't champion for this long. Everyone was angry at him, but he hasn't been champion that long. So, you know, there's a lot to be said, and he still loses. It's not like a... It's not like a undefeated streak for 10 years. I mean, there are cases that give me a little time to research it, and I'll come up with a few other names that have probably been much as maligned as him. But it's easier to see now because everyone has Facebook, everyone has Twitter. So that little kind of reverberation of hatred that kind of echoes everywhere because you have so many outlets for it now, I think is the case.
Well, is there anything else that you guys want to get off your chest, or do you think we can...
When's this being aired?
This is being, I'm going to put it up on the podcast account like tonight, probably.
Oh, nice.
So,
Friday, June 29th, C4. Come down to see us at Crossing the Line.
11.
Yes, I was going to say Point Break, but a number is good too. Crossing Line 11, Point Break. Tickets are available. Check on Facebook. You can come down to the venue. It does sell out very quickly. It's only our second time there, ladies and gentlemen.
And it is also
at our new
season finale.
Yes, it's our season finale of season 11. I would say undoubtedly the most successful, biggest attendance season ever. Some huge names, some amazing milestone matches that we've seen. You're going to see a great main event of Kobe Dearth, the champion, for many, many a moon now, who is going to be wrestling PCO, Joey Janela, Teddy Hart. If your head didn't just explode hearing that for the first time, I don't know who you are. Those three men in with our champion. I mean, don't put any money on Kobe Dearth. I think that might be a title change. Friday, we'll have a lot of other amazing matches. You can check out the entire card on any social media platform that you have connected up with C4 Wrestling. Capital City Championship Combat. The crowd is great. The staff is even great. No, the crowd is great. The staff is friendly. Check out good beer prices. If you're not into beer, we've got a lot of food. If you're not into food or beer, come for the action. I have stickers for sale. And everyone will have a great time. We're going to be taking a break after season 11. It usually lasts about 2 months. Of course, in August, we're going to have Fighting Back as well. More information and details to come later on social media. But come on, check it out. Crossing on the Line is usually our season finale, usually the biggest event of the year for C4 exclusively, of course. And everything is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Shows to come.
For those who don't know, C4 is now being held at St. Anthony's Hall.
Thank you.
Doors open at 6:30, bell time at 7:30.
Correct.
Just so everybody knows where to go.
Now, I've got a question for both of you guys. Mm-hmm. Gus, were you at the last Vanier show?
I was at the last Vanier show.
Bob,
yes,
were you at the last Vanier show?
Mm-hmm.
Which main event do you believe is going to be more which main event do you think is going to be better? The last battle of Vanier or this upcoming four-way dance?
Well, I mean, we're trying to hype up the next show, so I'll say the next one. We'll talk offline a little bit about what goods of each match, but this one is going to be a huge one. I don't think there's been also, remember, Battle of Vanier wasn't a title defense. So it was a tag team match.
But it was just an insane.
Yes, it was. this one here, I'll say this in full honesty. This will be, in my estimation, Gus, back me up too because you've been at C4 for a while now, the biggest title match, I think, in my estimation.
I believe so, yeah. And I mean,
as a main event title match, yeah, I think this is going to be the craziest one.
As big as the final show at the VCC was.
This is a title match. It's for all the beans here.
You always leave a C4 show thinking to yourself, there's no way that they can top that. And if there's anything I've learned about C4, they're going to top it.
Mark and Steven do a great job.
That's right. The talent will find a way to top the last
show. I don't know who those two are, but yes, absolutely. I think
it's hard to imagine anything being better than that last show, but I know in my heart of hearts that
Hey, we've already had a St. Anthony show, so you've already seen that crowd. And,
that's right.
And it helps that we're bigger. We've got ceilings that are much higher now, so everyone can go for their... their top rope maneuvers.
Well, I mean, they don't want to try and go because there's a chandelier that's like off.
That's okay. Break
and
the chandelier.
Two bars.
Dr. Bob. Two bars.
Two bars.
Dr. Bob approves of the chandeliers and the two bars.
Right.
As for other plugs, there's a lot more wrestling going on in the city. There's a claim coming up.
If you I'm going to be at that show.
Yeah.
I'm pissed that I can't make it to the C4 show on this Friday, but I will be at the Acclaim show next Saturday.
Yeah.
That should be
Acclaim Pro Wrestling. That's downtown, folks. Check out their social media, APW. There's IWS in July. There is going
K-Town.
To be...
IWS is K-Town, right?
No, you're thinking of different feds. ISW.
ISW.
Yeah. Okay. IWS is International Wrestling Syndicate. They're in Montreal. They're going to be having PCO versus Walter, that big rematch of the Joey Janela show with Spring Break 2. What else? K-Town actually is for ISW Interspecies Wrestling. It's going to be in August. That's going to be August... I lie. Sorry. Don't fire me. September 29th, Saturday, September 29th in Kahnawake, Quebec. A few matches, about three of them have been mentioned online. I don't have photographic memory right now, but Chris Dickinson is making his return. The huge star from the States, the person, our double champion right now, who's going to be coming back and defending that. I'll be ring announcing that one. So everyone come on down. Message me for ticket information if you want. Of course, in the meantime, we'll be having Fighting Back in August. More details to come on that. I don't want to spoil the date. I don't want to spoil the details. We'll be having a straight out of chamber, potentially a torture chamber event coming up in August. More details to come on that. And yeah, I'm on a lot of shows. You guys are with me on shows too. We're ripping it up. The talent here is amazing in Quebec, Ontario, and elsewhere. And it is, I think, without a doubt, the hottest time to be a wrestling, indie wrestling fan in the area, maybe around all of North America. There has been no time before, maybe arguably 2003, 2004 with ROH's big boom, JAPW, all that stuff as well. But there has never been a time to be an indie fan as there is now. If you guys are even on the edge of kind of wondering what this indie wrestling thing's about, come on out. You'll have a great time. If you're one of those guys who occasionally watches WWE, see what the different flavors are here. See all the colors of the rainbow. Indie wrestling is at its peak. Hopefully it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But if this is the year, 2018, 2019 is the year that it peaks, and what a great peak we've had. Hopefully this is not the climax of the rise of indie wrestling and we get to be in bigger and hit bigger milestones. But you're missing something great if you catch all this stuff only on DVD, if you catch it only on streaming. You got to be out there live. You got to come see the energy. Come just like that match we saw before. Yeah, if you're there live, there's a whole big difference.
Now, you mentioned
something about being in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the whole climax thing. That's a perfect segue into something that I just thought about.
Oh, boy.
As we know.
Hold on. Climaxing, everybody.
Hold on.
No. I am not climaxing.
What's on the network here?
Hey, John.
No. The G1 Climax is set to begin July 12th in New Japan.
Good transition.
Next week I'm going to be doing a G1 Climax 2018 preview show next week on Wrestling With Ideas, so you can tune in to check that out. Also, this week's radio edition, this week's cleaner edition of Wrestling With Ideas is going to feature the debut.
No climax on that one, but yeah.
The debut of Doctor's Orders with your host, Dr. Bob Bobby Virtue. Now, Dr. Bob, why don't you explain to the people what they're going to be hearing with this?
So I've seen on a lot of different formats here, podcasts especially, where you'll have some people review a match and go through either what they thought about it, either the psychology. Sometimes you have other wrestlers doing a bit of commentary in there, explaining kind of the ins and outs of it. Having watched wrestling for nigh 30 years, I think I have an authority enough to say that I've watched a lot of it and I have a pretty big catalog of matches to go through in my mind. And also doing commentary now for many different promotions. I feel like I've been able to call a bunch of huge, great matches. So we're going to be going over usually slightly older, nothing too recent unless there's a special edition, matches, going over quite usually shorter ones, taking some notes. In many an occasion, I will be going over some matches that are kooky, crazy, not just comedy, but something particular about them that stands out. Maybe it's two opponents that you never thought would be wrestling each other, like Goldberg and Sandman, which is coming up very shortly. It might be another match where you see something happen in a match that you've never seen before, just some crazy occurrence. And Doctor's Order will be going through. I'll be doing quick little summaries of them, why you should check it out maybe, just my impression of it. Hopefully they're funny, zany, quirky, interesting, fun overall. And I'll be happy to provide that insight and add to Wrestling With Ideas.
Sweet. All right, Dr. Bob, Gus, thank you for... We made it to an hour. What started off as an alternate commentary on a match between Roddy Piper and Tonga Kid from 1984 turned into...
What? It's 11 p.m.? What is this?
PM. Ah,
I gotta go home and feed my kid.
What do you mean? How long did I black out for?
All right. Bonus audio for Wrestling with Ideas. Have a good one, guys.